This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Clathie-Tenay. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. Joining us over the line today in CIFA Radio studios is David Watson, who is running for the MP seat in the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding. He's running for the People's Party of Canada and residing in Bear Lake, British Columbia. Thank you so much for joining us today, David. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Do you mind telling us just a little bit about yourself? Who is David Watson? I understand you're the postmaster in Bear Lake. What rounds out your personality,
your professional life? I am the postmaster, but because of the election campaign, there is a slight conflict of interest if I was on duty with Canada Post. So during the campaign, I've not been working. I have a couple of staff members that are dealing with that for me while I'm off. And if I win, well, then I won't be going back to the post office. And if I don't win, well, I will be going back to the post office and I'll be running again in the next election. I've already committed myself through the PPC to do that.
As a postmaster in Bear Lake, which is a community just about an hour north of Prince George, I'm curious about your perspective on union labor in light of the postal labor action that had a high profile late this past 2024. As far as I know, the People's Party isn't widely known to appeal to labor groups for support, but are you? What's your perspective?
I'm not really allowed to, because our negotiations for our union, which is a different one than the one that went on strike just before Christmas, but our negotiations are not completed yet either. And I'm not one of the spokespeople. So I'm not supposed to talk about that sort of stuff. As far as the PPC goes, yes, you're right. We're not ones to pander to unions or to union membership or even to large corporations. We don't like the pandering side of things at all because we feel that it takes people out of the equation, shall we say. And when you do that, you're not really getting what people want in general. Union membership in Canada is a fairly substantial amount of people, but it is by no means the majority. So it's a difficult question. And it's something, like I said, that just because I'm not a spokesperson for the union, and technically I still am part of the union and everything, I'm not allowed to really talk about that side of it, especially because being a postmaster, it puts me in kind of a supervisory type position. And I would rather not make a comment on behalf of the union or anything like that, or on behalf of Canada Post. So right. I hope that explains my point of view and the PPC's.
Gotcha. So I want to say that the People's Party is on the right-hand side of the political, traditional left-right political spectrum, if we were to acknowledge such a spectrum. But so is the Conservative Party of Canada. Do you have a perspective of how the Conservative Party has fallen short of representing the Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies riding over the last several years within that right spectrum? Are they fulfilling that area properly, or where do you feel like you could do a better job?
Well, you're right. First of all, the People's Party is on the right side of the political spectrum. The last I heard, there were no libertarian people at all running in this election. That may not be true. I'm not sure, but I don't think there is. So if you take out the libertarians out of the equation, we're as far right as you can go in Canada. And so that places us very squarely on the far right at this point in time. Not to say that we are far right individuals, but from the political spectrum side of things, we are. Now, when you go a little bit farther and you start talking and basically trying to compare us to the conservatives, we're actually not really at all like the conservatives. Our viewpoints, our attitudes, our beliefs, our values, all of those things are quite a bit different than the conservatives. There is some crossover on certain types of things. Individuals within the Conservative Party are more or less conservative again. The ones that I have met mostly in this riding, including the current MP, are tend to be a little bit more on the conservative side. But that's not the way it is on in all ridings across country. I have talked with and I've met with other conservatives all over the country, actually, because I've lived in many places across the country. And conservatives, going back to the time of the progressive conservatives years ago, we're talking back 20 or more years ago, the progressive conservatives were just that. They were progressives. They were very much center right. So you have to go to the center and then just go slightly right of the center. And over the years, when they joined with the Alliance and with the Reform Party and so on, that has changed their makeup again still. But they still are predominantly just slightly to the right of center, whereas the Liberals are just slightly, actually more than slightly nowadays. They were up until about 10 years ago, slightly left of center, but the Liberals have become very much more left of center now. The Liberals are actually quite a bit like the NDP now in many ways, and this is why they were able to form their coalition for the last number of years there. And now, when you look at the current specific situation within the campaign itself, the policies and the things that the Liberals and the Conservatives are announcing are very similar. They have similar stances on Trump and on tariffs. They have similar stances on immigration. They have similar stances on globalist things. They have many, many similar attitudes and stances. So they're more or less the same kind of a party. What I've been saying for quite some time is they're two sides of the same coin. Or my wife put it another way, and she said, Canada is the bus, and the drivers have, for the last 10 years, have been the Liberals. And now we're going to have an election, and the drivers may change, but it's still going to the same destination. That's the way I feel. And actually, every single PPC candidate that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot, I've been on some of our specific podcasts and stuff like that as well, and in many of the sessions that we do on Zoom within the PPC community itself, they all have very, very similar feelings to that. Or as Maxime Bernier, our leader, he says that the Liberals, if they get back in power this time, they're going to run us into a wall. And if the conservatives get into power, well, they're going to run us into a wall as well, but it's going to take longer to get to that wall than with the liberals. It's really easy to see that when you look at just at their stances on deficits and that sort of thing. The liberals themselves doubled our national debt in the last 10 years. Okay. It took 148 years for this country to accumulate a $600 billion debt. And they doubled it to over 1.2 trillion in the last 10 years, which is absolutely ludicrous. Now, when you add to the fact that they're all projecting large deficits of different sizes, yes, they are, but they are all projecting large deficits over the next 4 or 5 years, depending on how long till the next election actually is, it puts us in a very bad situation. We can't afford it. We just simply can't afford it. We have enough taxes on our plate right now. We have enough regulations on our plate right now. We have enough problems on our plate right now. I mean, we can talk a little bit about those too if you like, but I won't get into them at this moment in time because it tends to make me be the one who's doing all the talking, and you don't get a chance to say stuff. But I don't have anything specifically against conservative people, because conservative people for me are what I call small C conservatives, okay? Whereas the Conservative Party is what I call a big C conservative. party, okay? And the biggest difference between the PPC and the Conservative Party is that Big C Conservatives, or the Conservative Party, they believe in a top-down type of management and taking control of the country and doing things. Whereas the PPC believes in a bottom-up way, where we believe that people like yourself and myself and others need to have more say in what the government does and how it does it.
Thanks for sharing your perspective, David. The way I see it is, the People's Party is known to support personal freedoms and minimal government intervention. Many people, though, see the government as having a role to guide people collectively and help pull them up when they're unable to get on stable footing on their own. There's limits to what personal debt can achieve and things like that. In your perspective, in what areas are government supports and interventions beneficial in the Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies riding? Where do you see where the government should be intervening and, you know, supporting people?
Well, across the country, actually, it's not just this riding. This applies to the entire country, actually. The federal government needs to guide, using guidance, as you're putting it, to in areas like resource use. We need to be involved with affordability. We need to be involved heavily on the tax side of things. We need to be heavily involved on the investment side of things. We need to be kind of like someone who provides recommendations for the healthcare system, for the housing systems, for interprovincial transportation, roads and highways and things like that. We need to work with stakeholders on the Indigenous side of things as well. There's many areas where we have, we'll call it an overlap. It's not really an overlap because certain things are not our responsibility at all. Like healthcare has very little to do with the federal government, except for the funding arrangement that we currently have under the Health Canada Act provides that we provide money based on the taxes that we take in. So one of the biggest things that we're going to do in that particular case, we want to get rid of the Health Canada Act as it sits right now, change it, make it so that it is both a mixed system and a public system. So that mixed system and public system then is available for everyone, not just the people who are well off. Because right now, truly, honestly, if you think about it, just for 10 seconds even, you understand that if someone has money, they can go anywhere they want in the world to get the healthcare they want to get. And people who don't have that money, they can't do that. Well, what we're proposing is, by changing the Health Act and making a mixed and public system, we are going to provide an insurance plan that is cross Canada. Everybody will have the same plan, everybody. And so they will be able to use that insurance plan that they have to go to a mixed system or to the public system. It's their choice. If they can get a better service from the mixed system, they'll go there. If they can get a better service from the public system, they'll go there. We don't have a problem with it. We're not trying to do away with public healthcare. On the contrary, we want people to go with the healthcare that is going to give them healthcare, which it's not doing today. And we kind of pattern our ideas a little bit off some of the existing healthcare systems in some of the European nations that have had their systems going for quite a few years already. And if you look at our healthcare system at one point in time, it was very much one of the best in the world. But over the last 25 or 30 years, we've went from right near the top, in the top five or eight providers in the world, we're down, which is really sad. Again, that's an area that we can help out, but it's not really the healthcare itself. It's setting up the regulations.
In this federal election, sovereignty, domestic sovereignty, it's been a hot topic. Since this sovereignty issue arose, there's been talk of promoting and creating new energy corridors, developing our resources more effectively. In your writing, energy development is a cornerstone of that economy. A big component of this is Indigenous sovereignty within our country. And are you willing to engage on a nation-to-nation level with Indigenous nations in your writing when it comes to activity on their traditional territories, especially in the context of these energy corridors?
Absolutely. I am myself personally, and PPC is. We actually would like to get rid of the Indian Act as it sits right now completely and make the individual nations of the country autonomous and have them have much more responsibility for what takes place on their lands and within their boundaries. It's got to happen. The Indian Act, as it stands right now, is far too paternalistic. We're acting like a big brother or a dad, and we're telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and yet we're not providing, or not us, the PBC, but the governments to this time have not been providing the actual help that they needed to provide to make the individual nations. There's over 600 nations in indigenous nations in this country, and they comprise just over 5% of the population of the country. So this is no small group.
Do you have a summation message you'd like people
Okay.
to hear?
Now, as far as a summation, the PPC is the only real alternative for people who want and have conservative values in this country right now. I'm not saying that all conservatives are bad. I'm not even saying that the conservative who's running in this riding is bad. I know Bob, and Bob's not a bad guy, actually. I've talked with him many times, but I think he's getting a little bit burnt out. Okay, and so I think it's time for a change. And that change, I want to be me because I'm willing and I think I have the attitude and the go-gettedness to actually make a difference in this riding. So what we're asking is we're asking everybody to vote. Everybody, please go out and vote. That's the most important thing. And so far, the message has been sinking in right across the country. Then the next thing we want people to do is we want people to vote based on their conscience, based on their actual values and their beliefs. Read our policies, listen to our candidates. If you agree with some of the things we say, or all the things we say, or most of the things we say, try and find out more. If you agree with us and what we're saying, we want you to vote for us. If you don't agree with us, we would rather you don't vote for us, honestly, because what's going to happen is you're not going to be happy with the things we do. If you read our stuff and listen to us and you don't like what we say or the things we're espousing, then don't vote for us. But if you do, please do vote for us.
You're listening to David Watson, who is running in the Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies riding for the People's Party of Canada. He's joining us over the internet from Bear Lake, BC, just north of Prince George. And thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you, Ian. It was a pleasure coming on, actually. And we have a meet and greet happening at the Blackburn Hall this evening from 6 to 8 o'clock. And there's also another meet and greet happening at 556 North Nechaco at the bottom of the hill in the Homesteader Meats building up on the second floor. And that one's happening from 7 to 9. Here in Prince George, both of them, yep. Blackburn Hall's on Giscombe Road.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.